Friday morning, Up North News. This is Pat Kreitlow. Coming up in our next hour, Mark Jacob, former editor at both the Chicago Tribune and Chicago Sun-Times. And as he likes to say, he now gets to have an opinion after being an editor for many years. And he does. He and I are two peas in a pod in that we enjoyed the newsroom work that we did for decades. And now it's time to step out of, you know, the traditional newsroom and try to help newsrooms do a better job of, you know, being pro-democracy, that there is not and certainly should not be anything overtly political and certainly not anything partisan about being pro-democracy. He is not a big fan of what we would call horse race journalism when somebody is trying to burn down the racetrack. And so we'll have a good conversation about that. Also in the next hour, Professor Melissa Scanlon will talk about the climate provisions in the Inflation Reduction Act, which will be getting its final congressional vote later today. That will be the cherry on top of a legislative Sunday, the likes of which nobody thought was going to happen. Early on when it appeared that, you know, Joe Manchin or Kyrsten Sinema was they were always going to be the ones to, turn the legislative Sunday into a poopy flavored lollipop. We drop a lot of dodgeball references here. You're just going to have to get used to that. But that legislative Sunday, not only includes the American Rescue Plan, but it also included the bipartisan infrastructure law. And by the way, I'm not a fan of any of these names. I mean, the American Rescue Plan, yes. But beyond that, it was supposed to be, there was Build Back Better. The infrastructure bill was originally called the American Jobs Plan. So it was going to be the American Rescue Plan, which was the economic stimulus bill, because we are still in the depths of the pandemic, followed by the American Jobs Plan. Well, the American Jobs Plan became the bipartisan infrastructure law because there were still some Republicans out there who know that infrastructure is a good thing. It's good to create infrastructure jobs. Infrastructure is good for the economy. So they thought the best way to package that, as a truly bipartisan thing, was to call it the bipartisan infrastructure law, because no Republicans voted for the American Rescue Plan, and no Republicans are voting for the Inflation Reduction Act. Ron Johnson voted against it. Assuredly, every Wisconsin Republican will vote against it. But to get back to that bipartisan infrastructure law, when it was in the process of being passed, President Joe Biden came to Wisconsin and Minnesota. He went up to the Twin Ports, and there's a great photo, and we put it in our newsletter yesterday, of President Biden, Governor Evers, and Minnesota Governor Tim Walz underneath the Blatnik Bridge in Superior and Duluth. The Blatnik Bridge was first used in 1961. So we're now talking 60 years of service. It is a huge bridge. And after all these years, it was either in need of serious work. It certainly has always needed serious maintenance. Now it's at the point where it just flat out has to be replaced. That's a tall order, for any state government, even two state governments, and even a federal government. If you're taking care of, one bridge, a bunch of other people are going to say, hey, wait, my bridge is, we need help too. And we need our lead pipes removed, and we need to upgrade. Some of our sewer lines are still made of brick, when they were laid 100 years ago. So we've known for literally decades that we need a much more massive investment in our infrastructure, because that's what previous generations did for us. They built the interstate highway system. They built schools like crazy during the baby boom years. They improved so much. And there's just too many people in my generation, late baby boomers, early Gen X, who just tried to skate by, on the things that were given to us without really doing enough to pay it back. And we're finally appreciating that you do need to either maintain or rebuild some of these things. And so the Blatnik Bridge was certainly a great centerpiece for the president talking about the bipartisan infrastructure law when he came here in March. Well, this week, the next step has been taken, in which the two governors, Walz and Evers, formally requested, a share of money from the bipartisan infrastructure law. Replacing that bridge And it does now need just a straight up replacement. Replacing that bridge is now estimated to cost $1.8 billion. I'm going to go ahead and round it up because it's going to be a multi-year project. So by then, it's going to be north of $2 billion. It's a $2 billion project to replace a bridge that large that carries that much traffic, that much truck traffic coming out of the Twin Ports, bringing goods to the ports, bringing goods to us from the ports. It's got to be done. It's a $2 billion investment that has to be made. The state has to put up some money. The feds have to put up some money. And this week, Evers and Walls formally requested roughly $900 million from that package. There will certainly be more federal funds, you know, coming over the years, but at least as a down payment to make sure that that work is going to get started. That's the step that's been taken. So the final decision is being made, not just to rebuild, but also whether to rebuild right in that same location, or I believe the Star Tribune out of Minneapolis reported it might go just a little bit to the west, then decide whether to do it in stages so you can keep some traffic going. Or, you know, I would say as tough as it's going to be, you bite the bullet and, you know, you take that thing out and you just rebuild it and get it done all at once. I don't know if that's, you know, which way they're going to go. And then they will streamline it. And those of you in the, you know, the northwest part of the state who take this bridge regularly, or if you're in Superior regularly, you'll understand what I'm going to say next is right now the bridge ends with this kind of, you know, curly Q, you know, that takes you down onto city streets and then eventually through the city streets of Superior, past the Anchor Bar where you can get a really good burger, but eventually gets you back onto Highway 53. And US 53 will take you then down through Rice Lake and into Eau Claire. And what they have said they will definitely do is it'll be a straight shot now off the bridge and then, you know, right onto US 53, obviously off ramps for Superior, so you can still get that good burger. But, you know, really, really clean it up compared to, you know, in 1961, it was no big deal for, you know, cars to kind of wind through and cut through town. But no, they're going to clean things up very nicely. And they have to, because, I mean, that's a mile and a half long bridge that carries 33,000 vehicles a day. And so anything that we can do to streamline just that one example is a good thing. And there will be so many others that will come up, but that one was definitely the signature piece. And we need that. You see the benefits when you look at what Congressman Dave Obey did in places like Wausau when that entire interchange was rebuilt. It was a pain in the arse for the longest time, but things now go, you know, smoother, faster. It is, you know, once you, if you need to exit in Wausau or get on from there, things are much, you know, much more clear. And that's what happened in Wausau. You saw it happen with the rebuild of the 29 interchange in Green Bay and more. And this is how we make progress and how we grow our economy and how we do it the right way. Coming up in our next hour, Professor Melissa Scanlon and Mark Jacob, all after this, you're up north.